Hey guys, it's Gary with Upton Bass. So I've been doing these podcasts intermittently, and I'll probably continue to do them intermittently, but I thought this morning I would talk a little bit about wood. I talk to a lot of my clientele about different models of instruments, big basses with deep ribs and broad shoulders and different things that make those kinds of instruments playable. And then we talk about sound, right? We could talk about wood in the context of beauty being, you know, flame or figure. You'll even see spalting and funky things in some materials we use. One-piece backs, two-piece backs, three-piece backs with no center seam. Instead, we'll put a plank down the middle and flank it with two smaller planks. What I've come to be able to explain to people is you can take a smaller model like our car model or a three-quarter Bohemian, and depending on how I arrange it, being a flat back or a round back, and then the wood selection I choose, I can voice it very much so like a bigger bass. And the same can be done for a bigger bass. A big bass can be, boomy, boxy, maybe a little closed in its sound, especially as you move up the fingerboard. And I can take a bass like that, and utilizing materials like wood, I can select something that's harder, brighter, more rigid. So I'm not saying that every bass can be made all the same just by varying the material, but I kind of am. What I mean by that, let's take a Breschen model, bigger bass of ours, pushing up on the marketing hype word of a 7/8 size bass. You call me and you say you want a Breschen bass and you want it to be as dark as possible. You're looking for a really, really rich section bass sound, and you want to hear that pipe organ-y E&A string like you hear on the big, big basses. So first thing we're going to do, we're going to take that flat back, and I'm going to say, hey, let's make it a round back. I'm going to add a little extra capacity to the body, a little extra closed darkness to the body. I would then take that back, and I would do it out of a softer material. Softer material being something like Italian poplar, or we'll even use a European willow. And then you might say, well, how do we even make that darker? Well, we wouldn't want it quarter sawn, we'd want it flat sawn, so that you're really kind of working on the softer, more flexible grain lines within the wood as opposed to the quarter sawnness. So if we go all the way to the left, right, if I'm laying out a color spectrum of sound and what wood creates, you say, give me your darkest, deepest, creamiest bass. I'm not worried about necessarily definition. Not to say that anyone's saying that, but you're looking for a dark, creamy, rich under the bow sound. We're going to take a big bass with big ribs, and we're going to add to it a soft back. So a soft round back would take you there about as far as possible. We could take that same bass and say, well, we want to keep a lot of that character, so let's make it a flat back. So we make it a flat back, we stiffen up the back a little bit, combined with a different voice top, and we'll get a lot of the same thing. What I mean by different voice top is the grain structure within the spruce of any bassist top. What I'm not looking for as a maker is guitar or violin type wood. And now this is a big misnomer because I see guys that are making basses, and a lot of amateurs, people that have made a handful of basses, will want the best quality wood they can get. So they'll call a wood vendor, and naturally, by virtue of pricing alone, someone will say, well, this top is $400, and this one's $500, and this one's $800. Well, if I want to make a good bass, I have to go with the highest grade wood. Here's the issue. Now you have generally selected, because of how the wood industry works, a very tightly grained spruce top. And we've all seen the bass that's overbuilt with a top that's too thick, the grain's too tight, the back and sides are too bright, and it just doesn't do the bass thing. So that might work in the treble world, the way in which, higher frequencies react and sound with very, very stiff wood. However, in the bass world, what I look for is a nice medium grain top that has nice flexibility, good stiffness. It still needs a good amount of stiffness, but nice flexibility and some broader graining. So if I can look at the graining of the spruce top, I'm not looking, if I zoom in on an inch by an inch, I don't want to see 20, 30, 40 plus growth lines. That's a very, very stiff top. I'm looking for something more like the Italians would do, with a broader, more medium grain, where I might see 5 or 10 grain lines over that same inch. So back to the back and the sides of the bass. You say to me, hey, I want a really small, easy to play bass. I'm thinking almost a solo sound, a bright sound, but I still want that bass to be able to cut it in jazz and cut it in orchestra. I don't want a one-trick pony. What I'll do in that situation is select a softer back. So a softer back and sides, maybe some of my maples that are softer, like a big leaf maple, some more sinewy, like slower growth, even some of the spalted stuff. What's nice about that, it's almost rotten in a sense. So you're having, you know, that the effect of old, you know, soft, creamy material. So I'll select a softer back, perhaps round, perhaps flat, again, depending on what you're after. You say, hey, I want a car model bass. I'm going to play jazz, but I'm looking for something that really sits well for orchestral work too. Okay, let's do a round back with a medium grain maple. So I have some really, really bright white maples. I've got some darker maples. And then in the middle, I'd probably pick like a domestic American maple for the back and ribs. And then a medium to tighter grain top, but not too tight. That, from my experience, and again, this is over 3,000 bases here, that, from my experience, would kind of give us the best of both worlds within the dimensions of the instrument that you require. So this is why I push people to kind of select a model. You know, there's a sex appeal element of picking the right model. I want you to look at your bass and want to play it. That might be as simple as violin corners versus gamba corners. So you'll say, well, geez, Gary, you know, you're telling me about the Breschen and the Mittenwald. Yes, those two basses have a lot of the same characteristics, very, very dimensionally similar. One is just a violin corner versus a gamba corner. That begs the question, well, what's the difference in those? Just the ribs, what does that do different? I would debate that the violin corner ribs are a little bit stiffer, and being made the same way, I would generally deepen the rib set, so the actual ribs of a Breschen will be a little bit deeper to match that of a Mittenwald. So a maple back, let's use an English sycamore, a maple back, brighter white maple back on a Breschen and a Mittenwald. Gary, how do you make those two basses sound similar to each other? Well, I could do two things. I could make you a flat back, deeper rib Breschen, and I would compare that to a slightly shallower rib round back Mittenwald. And this again brings another debated thing. Flat back basses are problematic. Well, lots and lots and lots of basses were imported from Germany and Czechoslovakia in the late 1800s, early 1900s that were made very, very, very thin. It's a great way to make a bass sound good, but it's not a great way to make a bass live a healthy life. As such, these instruments that were lightly wooded, lots and lots and lots and lots of them cracked and broke. So therefore, we have all these data points and people say, hey, flat back basses are problems. Okay, let's turn over to the Italians and the nice French basses and the nice German basses and the nice English basses. And let's take a look at one of the characteristics of those instruments. Lots and lots and lots of very healthy flat backs. If I'm acting as a jury consultant, and many of you have heard me say this, if I'm acting as a jury consultant and I'm asked on the stand, is a flat back less durable than a round back? I have to say yes. If I'm allowed to elaborate, oftentimes in a court situation like that, they would say, is it yes or no, Mr. Upton? And I'd say, oh gosh, I don't like to answer this question, but yes, the flat back's less durable. That being said, a maker does not make a flat back dimensionally, when they've made a few of them, I say a few hundred, you don't make a flat back the same way you make a round back. And the way in which a back is braced also comes into question, because we've got years and years and years of ladder bracing. That's the grain-oriented bracing on the back of a flat back that contradicts the grain of the back of the bass. So one's going one way, one's going the other. I do what we call a diagonal propeller brace. The sound post sits on the middle of it. It pulls most of the back into the pumping action of the instrument. But let's go back to wood. What I'm trying to explain is, on the spectrum of wood, we've got bright, bright, bright maple right in the middle, right? We've got flat and round backs. We lean to the left, and we have softer maples. And we've got very, very soft, creamy maples. They start to kind of have a crossover characteristic of that of the poplars. And then we take the poplars and we move into the willows and some of the funky stuff. Now, you'll see I've used things like macore. Very stiff, very bright, exotic wood. That sits more, if not even more so, brighter than what we'd see in the maples, which we then have to control with our graduations. And I would highly encourage an instrument being made out of that and having a round back. What I'm not talking about, and I'll mention quickly, is how the bases are thicknessed when we're carving them. Every piece of wood is different, and we take a very, very close look, tapping, touching, feeling, listening to, and building off a matrix of lots of time knowing what certain woods will do. But every piece of wood, to result in a similar end product, does not get treated the same way. Because for me, a brand, my brand, it's not really got legs. It's not really got durability. It can't stand the test of time and consistency that you rely on for an Upton-based sound. If I'm making one bass that sounds great, one bass that's mediocre, one that needs this, one that needs that, the goal here as makers is, as we learn to control, just like a chef, we learn to control the ingredients, we're able to serve up what we know is our methodology, our tone, and who we are. So we go back to that little spectrum I'm kind of drawing, left hand, right hand, in the middle. And I'm putting together, you know, kind of a spread for you that I know is a little improvised as it sounds. But we're talking about maples, softer materials, harder materials. The rule is you have to know what you're doing with it. You cannot do the same thing with a bright, rigid piece of wood as you would do with a softer, creamier piece of wood and expect the same result. So that's why I begin with the pattern. I go after a pattern that the client obviously physically works. I want them to enjoy its appeal and how it feels and looks to them. I want them to walk by their bass and just want to play it. And after we've established pattern based upon the desired, you know, direction the player wants to take the bass, we then talk about materials. Obviously, budget comes into play for everyone at some point. And then budget lays out where we go directionally with, oh, we can do this material or that material. And if there is no budget, then all I'm listening to is, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? What pattern are you after? And what have I learned is the best way to get us to that end goal, that end result that will make you very, very, very happy and pleased with your bass. That comes to what I essentially do with everyone when they walk up into the showroom, is I say, hey, what are you trying to accomplish? You know, I want you to be a brat. I want you to explain what you want your bass to do, what kind of sounds you're after. And at the end of our communication, which can be quite lengthy, I'm going to come up with a recommendation of, let's say, you know, the Conker bass with a flat back made out of a harder maple, a broad spruce top, and you're going to have a great all-around bass that's got a good honking, very clear speaking pizzicato sound up in thumb position, but still gives you a nice, nice creamy tone under the bow, but not as big as it could be, because if I take you as big and as dark and as funky as I can, then I'm going to lose you a little on the upper register. Again, take into account graduation, graduation heights, the arching of the top, the arching meaning how high or low the top goes from bottom to top, from the sides of the bass to the top where the bridge sits. And then the shape of that arch, you'll see in some basses, you can see the arch happen quickly. You can see it start slowly and just kind of go up very gradually. Sometimes you'll be deceived. I have a very gradual arch on our basses, and people will say, oh, it's not very tall. No, it's a very long, slow hill that comes to a peak essentially and then descends in all directions. So I hope this provokes some thoughts about materials, some questions. You know, let's throw in there things like European ash, like I said, macore. Hey, why not mahogany? It's been done. You'll see it in guitars. Again, it's knowing what to do with these brighter woods, these softer woods, having the experience of hearing them played on lots and lots of different models, and having a clear picture of what they result in when they're asked to do certain things. So if you have a wood question, hit me up. I hope this little brain dump is fun for some to hear and go, ah, man, you've answered some questions and you've created five more. That's what I hope to do. And I look forward to talking to anyone about base stuff and base wood and so on and so forth. But hit me up. Keep following us here for more and more of these podcasts. I've got another one coming up I'm going to do on Wednesday, I think, this week. And we'll talk to you soon, guys. Thanks. It's Gary from Upton Base. Over and out.